There is a man in the Bible called Balaam. The Bible says he knew the knowledge of God. It's a wonderful thing to have the opportunity to get into God's Word, to understand God's knowledge concerning our circumstances. You agree with that? Thank God this morning. I thank God for the opportunity to be invited here. Actually, I never met any of the pastors before I came here. So it is a surprise to me too, to be here. You see, but God knows how He works. He knows how He does His things. The Bible says things were fashioned before the foundation of the world. So we are not yet confused. We don't live in this world confused and trying to understand what is happening. We have a God that has taken care of everything before we came. And I want to inform you about the devil too. Before he came, we were in God. But the Bible says God chose us in him before the foundation. It means even before the devil was created, God had a plan for you. So the devil is not your problem. You overcame him before you came here. Because we're in God. Hallelujah. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning. We give you praise for such an opportunity. I pray this morning that your word will have free course and be glorified in every life. Give us understanding. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of that word today. I pray that you enlighten our hearts, O God, to understand your word and partake of your goodness. Thank you for utterance. And thank you for doors of faith opening in the hearts of your people today. And let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. If I want to come up with a title for a series this week, I think it's going to be New Creation Realities. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. So the question is, you see, the scripture starts with if. It means the question you should ask yourself this morning is, am I in Christ? Because if you are in Christ, you're a new creation. You're not the same person that was born into this world so and so years ago. The day you gave a life to Christ, you became a new creature. You see, you were not reformed. You were not amended. You were not patched. You became a completely new being. You may look the same, have the same feelings, have the same thoughts in your mind, the same memory. But in the eyes of God, you are a completely new being. You see, we live in a church age whereby we have preached a lot of religion to people. Get people to be religious, like church, go to church, sing, praise God. But we've understood little about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if you truly understand the gospel, there are things you will never pray about. There are things you will never struggle with. Your concern will be to serve and love Jesus Christ and do His will on earth. There are things that disturb you, that are hindrances in your life today, stopping you from spending time with God, stopping you from serving Him the way you're supposed to. And all of this is because of ignorance. You haven't understood what Jesus Christ really did on the cross of Calvary. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Genesis. Let's go from the beginning. We'll do a lot of scripture reading this morning because I know a lot of people don't read the Bibles. So we'll just use this week to read a lot of Bible. You like that? The Bible is a good place to begin. It's a good place to start with, and it's a good place to remain and stay and abide in. Chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He, male and female, created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over all the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You can see that man came into this world blessed. The Bible said God blessed them and said unto them, have dominion, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. God gave man a command of authority. Man didn't come here as a beggar. You see, you came into this world as an overcomer. Man came blessed, ready to do the will of God. He came complete, equipped to do God's will and give glory to His name. All of us know the story of Adam. You know, he came, he was a perfect man. Adam was a man that knew nothing about sin. He had no idea about sin. He didn't know what sin was. He didn't even have a thought of sin. His mind was pure. His spirit was clean. His emotions were fixed and focused on God. Everything about Adam was perfect. In other words, Adam, to him, sin was unknown. He didn't even know what sin was. All his concern was to serve and have fellowship with God. The Bible says God would come in the cool of the day and reason with him and fellowship with him. What life, beauty of life, what enjoyment of the goodness of God. For we know God made Adam from the dust of the earth, gave him breath, the breath of life, and he became a living soul, started living. He had a clean spirit. His soul, which is made up of his emotions, his mind, his will, everything was in line with God. His body could manifest God's will. Because you know, the reason why God gave us a body, why we live on earth with a body, is because with our bodies we can manifest God's glory. See, Jesus said something prophetically in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. He said, burnt offerings and sacrifices thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me to do thy will. So your body is to do God's will with. You have your body so you can manifest God through your body. I know, you see, I'm trying to be slow so we understand what I'm talking about. I thank God for this church and this camp meeting, because today you find few places where they really take time to teach the Bible. People want to preach, want to get excited, which is wonderful. Because when you preach, you profess Christ. And people, you know, you proclaim Christ, people profess Him. But when you teach, you explain the gospel and people experience Christ. You see, we have raised people in church who depend on the preacher all the time. Because they don't have any understanding of what it means to be a Christian. If they have a headache, they have to call the pastor. If they have a little problem at home, they have to go to church and cry to the pastor. Because they haven't understood what it means to live as a Christian. Because they've never been taught. And it's not their fault. Because the pastors too weren't taught. And it's not their fault too. Because they were not taught too. So we have a generation of people who don't understand what it means to live as a Christian. I can assure you, Christianity, it don't mean to struggle with the devil. That's not what it means to be a Christian. Else you're making the work of Christ of no effect. You see, we talk a lot about the cross and about the blood, the what Jesus did. If you really respect what Jesus did, you will live in His benefits. Because you living a life of victory and authority over the enemy is a proof that you love Jesus. Some people may not like it, but I like us to stay in the scripture. I'm not trying to give you my understanding. I'm trying to give you the word of God. Because in the gospel is the power of God. And that is what gives men salvation. Hallelujah. See, Adam was a man who knew no sin. He came ready, blessed, equipped to have dominion, to have authority and subdue the earth. All of us know God gave him a command. God said, all the trees in the garden, You see, we'll read, oh, you know all of the, I mean, you know this, that story in Sunday school, all of that, you know all of this story. God said there are many trees in the garden. Eat of all the trees. Eat everything. Everything is at your disposal. You see, God had done everything, planted the garden. All he had to do was to keep the garden. Maintain what God has done. All what God has called you to do is to maintain the victories of Christ. You're not getting no new victory on your own. Maintain what Christ has done. See, anything you ever experience as a Christian is just a discovery of what Jesus has done. And you getting into the experience of it. You will never have any experience apart from Jesus Christ. Because God wouldn't allow you to do that. Lest you boast before Him. Paul said something in Romans chapter 4. He said, as concerning our father Abraham, what did he found as concerning the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he had somewhat to glory before God. But what said the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was accounted for righteousness. That's all. Paul said if he actually gained something by his actions, by his performance, he can glory before God. He can stand before God and say, I did this, I did this, I did this. And that is why you have to pay me back. Paul said God won't allow it. He believed God and he was accounted for righteousness. What are you struggling to gain by yourself? Your fight of faith is a fight to maintain the victories of Christ. That's why it's called a fight of faith. You put your trust in Christ and stand steadfast, unshakable, and nothing can overcome you. God is looking for men in this day and age who are overcomers. Strong men in the faith who can take this world for Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for that. Solid in the gospel and put the enemy in his place where he belongs. Do you agree with that? God said, eat of all the trees in the garden. But of the tree in the middle of the garden, do not eat of it. Simple command. Simple. There were hundreds of trees. Simple command. To see how much is going to depend on God. You see, the tree is not a tree of evil. Like we've made it sound, it's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge apart from God, knowledge of independence. If I eat of this tree, I can understand good and evil apart from God. You see, it's a tree that will give you understanding of things without God. Because you realize after they ate of it, they understood a lot of things without God telling them. And that's the world in which we live today. A world that is going away from God in independence, thinking that they understand a lot of things. The moment they ate of that tree, listen, let me make this point real clear. God told Adam not to eat of the tree. God did not say don't touch it. Because God told them to keep it. You can't keep it without touching it. But this is what Adam told Eve. Because you know, God told Adam before Eve was made. So the command was given to Adam without Eve. Even though Eve was in the loins of Adam. When Eve came, Adam told her, you see, God said, don't touch that tree. Let me tell you the risk in that. Anytime you add your personal commands to the Word of God, you give an opening for the enemy to deceive somebody. Why do I say so? Because now the devil came to Eve, knowing that she doesn't have a right and proper knowledge about what God said. He said, did God really say you should not eat of the tree? Listen to what he's doing. Now the woman said, God said we should not touch the tree. This is what I'm just saying what I believe, based on that story. And the devil said, touch it and see what if anything is going to happen. And the moment she touched it and nothing happened, she knew that it was possible to eat it. Because God didn't say, don't touch it. God said, don't eat of it. And she went ahead and ate it. And we know the trouble that came. Man degenerated. Man fell. Not just from his position. Man did not only lose his position. Man lost his life. Separated from God. No form of relationship, because God related with man with his spirit. For Paul said in the book of Romans, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, a servant called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had prepared aforetime by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus Christ, made after the seed of David, according to the flesh. You see, he went ahead to say that, you know, I give thanks to God for you all, for your faith is spread out everywhere. Your faith is great, is spoken everywhere. And God is my record, whom I serve with my spirit. He said, I serve him with my spirit in the gospel of his Son Jesus Christ. How do you serve God with your spirit? You don't serve God with your mind. You don't serve God with your emotions. You serve God with your spirit, and your spirit leads the rest. I'll say that again. Because you know, in the Old Testament, the Bible says that the high priest will come, take the animal, put the animal on the altar. See, he's a high priest. He slays the animal. The animal is a sacrifice on the altar. Okay? He would do the sacrificing. Your spirit is the same. Your spirit does the presenting of your flesh and your mind and your emotions. Every morning, present your bodies a living sacrifice. What do? If your spirit is strong enough in fellowship with God, every morning as you pray, your mind is presented. Your emotions are presented. Your body is presented before God as a sacrifice. Your spirit is the high priest. Everything else is sacrifice. So what if you don't pray? Your spirit is weak. It can't present anything. Your emotions go wild. Your mind goes wild. Your body does its own thing, because the high priest is weak. So if you strengthen your spirit in the word and prayer, everything else will be a sacrifice. Your emotions want to go this way, you bring it back. It will be easy, because the high priest is solid. I know it may be a little bit, I don't want to say deep, but a little bit, but please, this is the Bible. All mankind fell with Adam, lost their position, lost their life. Realize that the Bible says there was a tree of life in the garden. Adam never ate of it, never. Because this is what would have happened. If Adam would have eaten of the tree of life, he would have really had the life of God. Experience the fullness of God's life, but he never did. You know why I say so? Because God said, after he sinned, God said, let us send this man out of the garden, lest he will eat of the tree of life and live forever. So that was the tree of eternal life. He never touched it. So that was God's mercy. God sending Adam out was mercy. You know why? Imagine Adam already disobeyed, already in sin, already degenerated, already have the sinful nature in him now. And then goes and eats of the tree of life and live forever in sickness. You will live forever. You have cancer, you cannot die. You suffer forever because you have eternal life in your condition. God said, lest he eat of the tree of life and live forever in this condition, let's send him out. That was God's mercy. I'm trying to take you to a point where you understand why Jesus came. Why we got born again. What is the meaning of being born again and to give your life to Christ? What it means. Because until you understand what it means to be born again, you can't live as a Christian. You will struggle all your life. You will think, I'm going to try to stop this. I'm not going to look at this anymore. But you see, you turn, the thing is here, I'm not going to look at it. But you, before you under, you realize you'll be looking at it. You know why? Because you're struggling by your power. You haven't understood what it means to be a Christian. The whole race was in trouble. But the Bible says sin passed upon all men in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Every man that was born. People don't like this because they don't agree with their theology, but the Bible says it. By the disobedience of one man, all were made sinners. If you don't like it, argue with Scripture. And in the same way, by one man's righteousness, we're all justified unto life. So all men born into this world, sinners. Give birth to your child. Lock her somewhere apart from people. Leave her there and let her begin to talk and see the lies she's going to tell. Nobody's going to teach them how to tell lies. Because that nature is already there. They came with the fallen nature of Adam. Every man came into this world like that. That's why every man needs to be born again. I'm going to say this, even though I'm going to get in trouble, but I'll say it. If you, you say, oh, I was born like this in this condition. No, this is how God made me. You know, to live like this is how I was born. You say, I'm not going to argue with you. But there's an opportunity to be born again. You don't have to stay there. You can be born again and get out of that foolishness. Now, how can man save himself from this condition? How can mankind have remedy from this state of confusion? Sin was increasing daily. The Bible says death reigned from Adam to Moses. Death reigned. In other words, death lived as a king. Death decided what happens to you. In other words, you must die. Because death was the monarch, was the controlling force. Everybody was subject to it. Even those who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, even those who had not sinned like Adam, as long as you're a human being, death is reigning over you. In other words, you can die at any time. Because death is in control. How is man going to save himself? So now man didn't even know. The Bible says man didn't even know his condition. Man will sin, don't even know the consequence, know the implication of his sins. So God brought the law. Because you do bad, you don't know that it's bad. Okay, you don't know the seriousness of your offense. So God brought the law. This is the purpose of the law. Paul said, by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 3 verse 23. The law came and said, do not do this. Do not do this. Do not do so. Whenever you do it, you know you have transgressed God's law. Because without the law, you will never know you have sinned. That's the purpose of the law. No man can keep the law. No man can. God didn't give you to keep it. Oh, there you go now. So look at me. What is he saying? God didn't give us the law to keep it. He gave us for us to know we are sinners and we need help.
You believe that?
By the law is the knowledge of sin. So you understand that what I've done has transgressed God's laws. I've done evil and I need help. Because when you do evil, you will try to control it next time. But you realize you keep on doing it over and over and over and over. You can't stop it. Then you will understand your helplessness. And then you need somebody to help you. See, God is bringing Jesus into the picture. Slowly. But men must understand their helplessness. They must understand their need of help. So Paul says the law was our schoolmaster. Was our tutor, our governor, to bring us to Jesus Christ. Why? Because in those days, they'll have somebody will give their child to a tutor to bring them up.
to a place of maturity. So the law was like that to us, giving to the law to open our eyes that we, this is what we need. We need salvation. We need help. That's why until a man will get to a point whereby they understand that they need help, they cannot be saved. Because you say, oh, give your life to Jesus and you enjoy, you know, life is good, life is wonderful. They will tell you that there's life that's wonderful somewhere else. You see the point? They won't understand why they need to give their life to Jesus, because what they are doing is wonderful to them. Right. Until they understand that they need help, they cannot be saved. Because by the law is the knowledge of sin. I would have been reading scriptures, but it would take us forever. I hope you're reading your Bible at least a little bit so you know what I'm saying. You know that it's in the Bible. Right. Even if you can't quote it, you know where it's found. So the Bible says, in the fullness of time, when the time, the right time for God arrived, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made after the law, so that He could save them who were under the law. Jesus came under the law, so He could save men that were in trouble. You see, Jesus could save men because Jesus overcame the world by His sinlessness. A man that lived for 33 years never thought evil once. Can you imagine that? Right now, things are going through your mind. You're struggling with thoughts right now. But there's a man that lived for 30 and some years. Never thought evil once. Not even an imagination of it. Human being. Jesus was not only God, He was man. 100% man like you and me. Sinless. He overcame this world by sinlessness. That's why He said, the prince of this world is come, but he has nothing in me. There is nothing he can find in me that belongs to him. So he cannot have dominion over me. Because he that is servant to sin becomes a servant of the devil. So if you're meddling with sin, you're selling your right to the enemy to overcome you. Jesus said, he has nothing in me. Nothing. He can't find anything in me that belongs to him. So Jesus came. This is the real part in it. Let's read Romans chapter 6, please. Let's read a little bit of the Bible. So I'll convince you a little bit that is not my thought. Romans chapter 6. Oh, I wish we understand what has happened to us. In chapter 5, Paul talked about the grace of God. How God has given us grace. He has forgiven us. You know, we can live now by His ability. And in chapter 6, he said, what shall we say then? Verse 1. Shall we continue to live in sin so that God's grace will abound? So, you know, grace is wonderful. But some people take advantage of it and live the way they want to live. Oh, God's grace. God will forgive. God's grace. You see that? Paul is, it is true what they're saying, that God's grace, God is going to forgive. But Paul is saying, shall you continue to live in sin so that grace may abound? So it's far from the thought of a Christian. God forbid that it happens. Why? He's giving you the reason now why it should not happen. Listen to this. Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death. Understand, into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. This is what He's saying. The day Jesus went to the cross and was crucified,
we were crucified with Him. We were buried with Him. That's why I say baptized into His death. Buried with Him. Our life came to an end at the cross. That's why the cross is super important for a Christian. Because that is where everything ended. We were buried with Him by baptism into death. We died with Jesus Christ the day He died. 2,000 years ago, before you were born, you died in Christ. You are not going to die tomorrow. When we tell people, die to self, we need to explain what we mean. Because you died in Christ. Should I defend that? Let me prove it and vindicate myself. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. Paul said, know you that if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? For you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Therefore, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall... You see, he's saying that you are dead. So why you should not seek the things on the earth? Because you are dead to this realm. Your life is no longer here. You are dead. That's what he's saying. And that is the point I want to emphasize. Until a man, a child of God, will understand that they are dead in Christ, they can never live in victory. Never. You will struggle with things all your life until you understand that you are dead with Christ. This is why I say that. Renee is dead. The person you see is no longer Renee. Is that a mystery? No, it isn't. You are dead. Your life ended. You were buried with Him in baptism. You were planted together with Him. Together. You didn't die on your own. You can't do it on your own. You died together with Him. So that you can rise with Him into newness of life. Paul said in verse 6 that knowing this, that the old man, this is what I want to get to, your old nature. And this is another tricky part because a lot of confusion in theology here. But let's stay with Scripture. As I promised, stay with Scripture. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified. What is the old man? The sin nature. He's the old man. He's crucified. And let me make this point clear. Christians don't have a sin nature. Struggling with the godly nature. It is not existent. It's not scriptural. You have your mind that has been polluted by sin. Struggling with the godly nature in you. Not a sin nature. Because the Bible is saying the old man was crucified. Because if you believe that there is a sin nature in you fighting you, you will always be fighting. Because the enemy walks by your misunderstanding. But the Bible says, by knowledge shall the righteous be delivered. Once you have that understanding, you are free from it. Why do we struggle with things? You say, oh, there are things I struggle with. I'm still struggling. Why do you struggle? Because you have not renewed your mind. You still have memory of things you did before. And the enemy is using that against you. Your emotions are not controlled by the Word of God and by fellowship. You see, God has not bombarded your spirit with spiritual energy. Your soul hasn't received that touch from God. So your soul, your emotions fly everywhere. That is the reason. Not any sin nature. Because the old man is crucified. Why? So that the body of sin might be done away with. So that henceforth you should not serve sin. Oh, powerful scripture. Paul began by saying, knowing this, you must know it, that the old man is crucified. And I want you to really know. It hurts my heart, the amount of ignorance. I want you to really know it. That the old man, that old nature that came with Adam, is crucified. That is the reason why Jesus came.
Why? So that henceforth you should no longer be a servant of sin. For verse 7 it said, he that is dead is freed from sin. So he's saying you are dead. You cannot sin any. Don't sin. That's what he's telling you. Don't yield to it, because you have the power to live free from sin. You have it. Ah, you have the power to live free from sin. But it will only happen by your understanding. Knowing this. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what Jesus revealed to Paul. And for your information, even Peter had trouble with that. Peter, he did. He said, for the writings of our brother Paul are hard to understand. Jesus knew Peter. Peter knew Jesus in the flesh. Ate with him. Slept in the same room with him. Went everywhere with him for 3 years. But Paul said, now know we no man after the flesh. If you want to know Jesus, he's in the spirit. That's why Paul knew him so much, because his first encounter with Jesus was in the spirit, not in the flesh. I said, even them who walked with him and ate with him for 3 years, they were amazed at Paul's understanding. Because he fellowshiped with him daily in the spirit. He said, I know a man 14 years ago who was caught up in paradise. He had words that are not fitting for man to say in this world. I want to tell you something. There are words that cannot be handled in this world. Words in the spirit that are not fitting for this world. Paul said, it's unlawful for me to say them. You see, what I'm trying to do is to charge you up to know what you're missing if you're not living right for Christ. There's so much in this gospel if you understand it. You are dead and you're freed from sin. You're freed from it. For your life ended. Paul said, I'm crucified. I am crucified. He didn't say, I will crucify. I am crucified. It is the present condition. So you're not saying, I'm crucifying my flesh. No, 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 no. You are crucified. You are presenting your flesh as a sacrifice. You are dead. The you that was born by your mom, your dad, is dead. You know why? Paul said, I'm crucified. Nevertheless, I'm still living. You still see me walking back and forth. But the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen to what he said. He didn't say, I live by faith in Christ. He said, I live by the faith of Christ. I'm not trying to put my faith in Christ, because then you always struggle to trust God. Oh, I'm trying to trust God. No, you live by His faith. His faith can never fail. That's why Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus. He refused to pray. You know that? This is what He said. Father, thank you, for you hear me always when I pray. He said, I say this so that they should understand that you sent me. I'm praying aloud that they should know that I came from you. That's the reason why he was praying. Lazarus had died 4 days ago. The sister said, Lord, by now he stinketh. Jesus didn't say, oh, speak in tongues, let's charge him up. He didn't do that. His faith never fails. I'll repeat that. He came, Mary and Martha came and said, oh Lord, if you were here, our brother wouldn't have died. John chapter 11. If you were here, you know, he was a friend of the household. He will come every time and talk with them, and they will enjoy him, sit at his feet and listen to his teachings. And they knew he was powerful. They said, if you were here, our brother would be living today. Because they didn't really understand who he was. They didn't. I wish you would understand. We are not involved in a religion. We are not playing church. Something has happened. The Bible says they called the disciples and bid them and commanded them not to speak again in the name of Jesus. You know what they did? The Bible says they went rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name because they understood who he was. If you will understand who he is, your life would change instantly. They understood who he was. They did. If I can pray for you, my only prayer is going to say, oh God, open their eyes. That they may know. That's what Paul prayed for the church. He didn't say, Lord, give them, Lord, give them, Lord, give them. He said, Lord, open their eyes. Other words, they are blinded to the reality. Open their eyes that they may know what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. That they may know the exceeding greatness of your power. The same power which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead is the same power that is in them. Can you imagine? The same power that brought Jesus out of the grave is in you as a Christian. And you are struggling with things. You need people to deliver you with the life of God in you. Partakers of the divine nature. Oh. You're struggling. And you need deliverance. With divine nature at your disposal. You see, you might have been in church for 50 years. It don't matter. You may still be blind. It's not how long. It's your level of perception. Paul got saved way after the other apostles. But his understanding was amazing. Paul said when Peter came down to Antioch, when Peter came, he said, I rebuked him openly because he was to be blamed. Why? Because when before that the Jews came from James, Peter ate with the Gentiles. But when they came, Peter withdrew himself and separated himself from them. Even the Jews likewise dissembled themselves with him. Even Barnabas was carried away in that foolishness. And Paul said, when I saw that they did not walk upright according to the truth of the gospel, I spoke to him openly and asked him this question. He said, Peter, you, being a Jew, livest thou after the manner of Gentiles? Why do you compel the Gentiles to live as the Jews do? If you being a Jew cannot even live as a Jew, why do you compel these people to live as a Jew? To keep all those foolishness, all those rituals? You can't even do it, you a Jew. Because Paul knew something. He said, oh King, I had a vision. And I cannot be disobedient to it. I saw something. I heard words that have apprehended my soul. Listen to what he said. He said, I'm pressing forward that I may apprehend or take hold that for which Christ has apprehended me. In other words, there are things that have gripped my heart. Christ has gripped my soul. He's in complete control. You see, I'm in complete surrender to Him. He is Lord over my life. And what I'm pressing forward to is to lay hold of Him in the same way He has laid hold of me. Because if I can lay hold of Him in that same dimension, I don't know about you, make up your mind if you want to be a Christian. I listened to a preaching sometime in the church, and I was on my prayer. I was praying while the preacher was preaching. I was not being, you know, foolish to feel that he's not lack understanding. Not that. I was praying, the Lord opened their eyes to understand, because this is what he was preaching. He said, "Oh, let's just pray that God will give us a little break from the enemy." That was his message, a little space of freedom from the enemy. Oh, and people were crying and weeping. A little space from somebody who is defeated. You have the authority. And you are begging for a little space from the devil. You don't know what Christ did. You don't know. The Bible says He made a show of Him openly. Openly. So that you know why He did it openly? So you could see it. Openly. Stop being ignorant. That's why the enemy takes advantage of you. Because of your ignorance. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You think they won't perish? They are people of God, but they will perish. Because it's not God's responsibility for you to have knowledge. It's your responsibility. How much time do I have left? Let me round up real fast before I say everything I have to say this week. I'm trying to lay this foundation because we're going to go from here throughout the week. I want you to know that you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. See where your life is hid? You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'll say it again because I want you to understand that you are dead. You are dead. Paul said, lie not one to another. Do not tell lies. Why? He didn't say, if you stop telling lies, you become righteous. No, no, no. We are reversing the gospel. He said, do not lie. Why? Because know that the old man is already put off. And he's put off with his deeds. All the manifestations of the sin nature is put off. He said, know it. He's put off with all his deeds, his lust, and his passions are gone. Then now he said, put on the new man. That is your responsibility. Put on the new man. Leave. Put on the new man. Feed on the word. Fellowship with the Spirit of God. Put on the new man. Who is renewed in the image of God. So if you successfully put on the new man daily, they'll think you're a Superman on earth. Because he is in the image of God. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And the man was bound completely. So you have to ask yourself the question, how did he walk from the grave outside? But it came forth. He came forth. You see that Jesus Christ? The Bible says you are in Christ. I like what the preacher said last night. He said even a child can do miracles. True. Why? Because not of him. Because of what is in him. Raising the dead is not a problem.
Because Christ is in you.
You can raise the dead.
Healing the sick is not the problem. Jesus took the bread, and the Bible says, see, the Holy Spirit was careful to include the fact that Jesus gave thanks. That was a careful inclusion. He gave thanks and then broke the bread. Why? Because giving thanks is a proof of understanding the provisions of God. He looked to heaven and he gave thanks. Why? Because he saw the supply already. He thanked God for the supply before it happened. Because he could see it. He said, whatever I do, I've seen the Father do. If you can see what God is doing, you can do the same. And you only see that in His Word and by fellowship with Him. Am I making you nervous? That's your calling. That's your calling. This may be strange the way I'm talking, but that is the gospel. You see, I'm not, you know all of that? All the preaching, I'm not doing all of that. That's not my calling. The gospel is your calling. You're commanded to live like that. Unbelief is as bad to God as any other sin you commit. Unbelief, distrusting that word. So you see who you are, you are dead. I want to leave you dead today so you can resurrect tomorrow. You are dead. This should sink. If anything, you should take anything out today, all the time. I want you to know you are dead. You are dead. The old you that was born by your parents is gone. Believe it. That's what will bring the change. You are dead. You see, you didn't grow up. See, some people say that, oh, I was saved when I was 4 years old. I wish I was. Alright? I really wish I did. Because of how much is in Christ. I wish I got saved that early. But I didn't. But if you were saved that early, and you grew up in religion without knowing Christ, it hasn't profited you. Because there are people who have brought up in church all their lives but don't know anything. Yeah. It's not any benefit. Because you're not a plus to the kingdom. All you're looking for is that day He's going to come. Wonderful. Wonderful to expect His coming. But while you're on earth, you need to live in victory and have authority. Because the original command to the man was have dominion and subdue. You are not a victim of circumstances. You are a victor and an overcomer. You see, this puts a lot of responsibility on you right now. And people don't like that. It means you should seek God. Search His Word. Don't just read the Bible. Meditate there in day and night. It's a disciplined lifestyle. God never told Joshua, read the Bible. God said, this word of the law should not depart from your mouth. Meditate there in day and night so you may observe to do. Because if you do that, you will make your way prosperous and you have good success. Meditate. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. They're not ordinary. If you leave it on the pages, they'll be as ordinary as anything else. But if you meditate therein, spirit and life unto you. Romans 6, let's round up Romans 6. I hope you get something. I really hope you do.
Verse 7. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Because you cannot live this life until you are dead first. But Paul is saying that you are dead with Christ. You're not dying on your own. And let me really correct this for myself, because dying daily means daily you submit yourself. Daily put yourself through that discipline with the understanding that I'm dead. I'm not supposed to live. Daily you subject yourself through that discipline. If you don't do it for 2 days, you understand what I'm saying. You will. Verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death had no more dominion over him. I will not go to that now because it may bring a lot of things. But in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth, liveth unto God. Likewise, listen to what he's saying. Likewise, he's talking to you now, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Paul is saying, consider yourself dead. That's what the word reckon means. Suppose yourself dead unto sin. You see what he's saying? Consider yourself dead. You are dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore, that's the consequence if you are dead, let sin not reign in your mother, but that you obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. You can have the ability to yield because you have the understanding that you are dead. It all boils down to that understanding. And then you can yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's why I said your spirit is the high priest. Now you can yield everything else. You can yield your mind. You can yield your emotions. You can yield your body as a living sacrifice. You present it. That's what it means. You're presenting it. But if there was an old man on the inside, if there was an old nature, you could never present your body. You present your body. It's like the old man who was on the inside before trained your mind how to think the way it did before. Train your emotions how to go the way they went. Train you in that way. Now the old man is done away with. Now you need to train your mind now in the ways of God. That's what it means to renew your mind. Train your mind, readjust the way it functions by the word of God and fellowship with the Spirit of God. Once you do that, I shouldn't be telling you this. You know when how sin begins in your life from your mind. You know it. Once your mind is engaged and you accept it, you can't control it, your emotions go crazy. And then you perform the act. But if you can yield your mind, your emotions can be controlled and your body can be presented as a living sacrifice daily unto God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll read one last scripture. Isaiah 53. Because I want to read it because we'll end there and then continue tomorrow. Who had believed our report, from verse 1, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him. Talking about this, the prophecy about Christ, his crucifixion. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You see, there is a substitution. He took our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for iniquities. In the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Took your iniquities, laid on Jesus. He died with our iniquities. He died with our sins. He did that to put an end to it. So now you can live unto him. And then 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45 says, this is actually, I'll tie with this, because this is really what I began with, even though I didn't read the scripture. 15 verse 45 says, and so it is written that the first man, Adam, was a living soul. And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. You see why the Bible puts it like that? It said the first Adam and the last Adam. Because Jesus came to put an end to the first man. That's why the Bible calls him the last Adam, not the second Adam. The last, he put an end to Adam. Everybody was in Adam. Everybody lived like Adam. Jesus came to put an end to it. So if you live in the way you live today, you are living under Adam, not in Christ. Because Adam was the first man, Jesus was the last Adam to put an end to all the manifestations of Adam. Praise the Lord. I want you to stand on your feet. I know the way I've spoken may not be as, you know, what you're familiar with. But I thank God that I did, because if you got anything at all, it will bless your life. And there will be fruits unto righteousness and unto holiness. You see, we are not struggling to be holy. Christ is our holiness. He manifests himself through us in holiness. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But I want you to know that you are dead. Your life is gone. The first man is done away with. The sinful nature is gone. The old man is done away. Taken away. So now we can live in Christ, right? So from tomorrow we'll start living in Christ. We'll start benefiting from his goodness. Because we know that the old man is done away with. The old man with all his deeds, all his foolishness, all his wickedness, all his lust and foolish emotions are done away with. So we can live now for Christ. Let's pray. Talk to God that we want to talk to him. Talk to him. I want you to talk to God by yourself. Tell God to bring you into a consciousness of what he has done for you. Open my eyes, Lord, to see the thing that you have accomplished. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may know what is the hope of my calling. That I may know what is the riches of your glory of the inheritance in the saints. That I may know the exceeding greatness of your power that is at work in me. That same power which you used in raising Jesus from the dead. The Bible says, he that worketh effectually in Peter, the same is mighty in me to make me an apostle unto the Gentiles. Paul said that, thank you, Lord, for working in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for working in our lives mightily to bring us to an understanding of that which you have done for us. I pray, oh God, for your people this morning, that you bring them to that realization, to that understanding of that which Christ has done, lest we make the work of Christ of no effect in our lives. Lord, open our eyes and give us understanding. Give us understanding and revelation of your knowledge, that we may know and live for you. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says we are dead and our lives are hid with Christ in God. Help us, oh God, to daily live that life of surrender to you. For we are crucified and we live the life of Christ. It's an exchange. It is not a struggle. It's an exchange of life. We live by the life of another. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We worship you this morning. Because this will open our eyes to your goodness. It will open our eyes to the love that you have for us. It will open our eyes, oh God, to your mercy and compassion for the human race. We give you praise this morning. We worship you. I pray that as your people leave this place, Lord, you begin to minister to them personally. Prepare their hearts. Give them enlightenment to be able to understand your word as we go ahead. We give you praise this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.